views and opinions expressed on the following podcast are those of the persons appearing on the program and not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. Welcome to another edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. I'm your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, saying welcome, welcome. Did I say welcome? The answer is yes, I did. Club ADHD, the podcast, a presentation of CADAC, the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. I invite you to visit their website. It's still functional. They still got things going on, a lot of it online, you know, with the pandemic and all, but they are not stopping, nay, nay, unlike what I did. Boy, did I ever. And I apologize. I know a while back, I got on my horse, back up on the horse, saying, yeah, I was away for a while. I had some pretty nasty things going on in my life, or crappy things, whatever you want to call it, the perfect storm. But I'm back. And then all of a sudden, I'm not back anymore. Some other things happened. And it got to the point that, well, I had to take a break. Sorry for such a long break. The ADHD was only part of what was going on. It didn't help things. And I felt I wasn't in the best frame of mind to help you. I had to help myself first. And unfortunately, sometimes when we get in that situation, avoidance comes a-knocking. And we start to avoid certain things. And I got to the point that, ADHD, I don't know if I want to address it right now. I know I'm going through something right now and all these external elements are happening. And, I didn't check in. And I apologize for that because I know a lot of you look forward or even depend on Club ADHD. And that was the function of Club ADHD, that we all can depend on each other. Now, I'm happy to report that the Facebook page, we do have our Facebook page, has been going and people have been leaving messages. I haven't read the personal messages. I'm sorry. I will be doing that. It's all part of the process. So there has been some help elements going on there. The Twitter account, haven't been looking at it. I will. I promise. This is the turning point. I just want to prove to you that if you have some things going on, some negative things, and boy, do I. And they continue. Even loss of income with this COVID thing. Oh, even if you don't have ADHD, it can run you into a crisis. You know, I apologize, but I want to show you that, yes, you can fall off the horse once, twice, three times. You can get back up. And I must admit that when you're away from something and you're avoiding it, it's tougher to get back at it. It really is. Sometimes your mind says, I can't handle it. And again, there are different therapies behind this, stinking thinking or whatever you want to call it, that you envision that things are just going to be negative. No, sometimes avoidance is just that. I want to avoid it all. And you don't take issue with some of the things that you got to be doing. And yes, I have to be doing this. It's good for mental health and for other things too. I'm not going to lie to you about that. And speaking of which, yes, the shingle is back out. If anything, I want to prove to you that, hey, I have to deal with things too. And it's up to me to get back on that horse. And I can help inspire you to do the same thing. So, yeah, the coaching aspect of it is back up and running. And not to say that it ever got going, but, yeah, we're going to be focusing on that as well. Had some issues with websites that I have, including Club ADHD. Our host got hacked. Big company. I'm not going to name names. But it got to the point that if you were to Google, I believe, Club ADHD, and it led you somewhere else to some pharmaceutical company. So I figured that out on my own. Hey, I'm a one-man show. Yes, I have help from CADAC, their support, which is great. But pretty much so. And, of course, being isolated with that's challenging. I've lost one other aspect that was a key point in my life as far as being healthy, and I have issues, and that's part of it too. When I grew up, I forgot about some things, and I was able to do stuff. Now as I get older, the body isn't playing along. And no, it's not just old age, it's other things that I have. but I digress. So, yeah, I away from badminton, a passion of mine, and I have to come to the realization that there's a good chance I'll never be able to play. Or if I do, it won't be anywhere near the caliber, and not to say that I was great shakes. But, yeah, that's hard because that played a very important part of my life for my adult life. You know, I've been involved in it behind the scenes, locally, regionally, nationally, and internationally. Not playing. But yeah, you know, it's not as fun being behind the scenes and not being able to play. So yeah, I have to deal with that. And some other things that were not very nice with our family that just luck had it. No, I'm still married. That's not an issue. No. Just bad things. And that can get you, as well as a pandemic, off track. And this pandemic, has it been a challenge for you? I know I was hyper-focused, still am to a point, and one of my doctors say, that's a good thing, you know, because you're not going to do the wrong thing. But I have to admit, I get frustrated when I see people doing the wrong thing. That's just part of the things that I have to deal with. So I don't go out shopping much because there are lots of people who aren't doing the right thing, and it's upsetting. And plus, I'm in an area that they don't want you to go out that much, although things are loosening up a bit in the Toronto area. Yeah, it's a challenge. So yeah, we are living as best we can. I hope you're doing well. How are you? If you're saying fine, thank you very much. A round of applause to you. If you're saying, man, I know where you're coming from with these challenges. Well, look at it this way. You're listening to the podcast, and it's up to us to help you, and you can help me too. We all help each other. Adults with ADHD, that's what Club ADHD is all about. We've got our Facebook page, our Twitter account, and of course, clubadhd.ca, where all the podcasts are listed. I've got some new software, and yes, I'm going to redo that website. Because it is rather dated, not only looking, but just the whole mechanics behind it. So yeah, that's another challenge. So I've got to do as best I can, but things will evolve. I have to, you know, fingers crossed. I had a member of the family help us too, and, you know, that's good too. But I have to do my thing. And, you know, you could sit back and say, oh, what have I done in life, or I've done so much, and now look where I'm at. You could say that, and oh, woe is me, and all that stuff. It's not going to get you anywhere. We can't give up. We just can't. Oh, brother, life is funny, huh? But enough of that. Let's continue on, shall we, with the interview portion of Club ADHD, the podcast. Welcome to the interview portion of the podcast, and we have as our special guest the founder of the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, CADAC, Heidi Bernhardt. Heidi has been on the show many times. Always interesting. Okay, she doesn't have ADHD, but she knows of what she speaks. CADAC, very important ADHD advocacy group here in Canada. She knows what's going on worldwide. Very interesting person. Her husband has ADHD. She knows it. And yes, I know we are a group of adults with ADHD, and she has helped us through CADAC. And she's going to tell us about what's going on at CADAC. And yes, there is an element in there that is Canada specific. However, as we get going in that element, it gets globally. So if you're listening outside of Canada, don't worry, it's not Canada centric. You're going to get some valuable information off of this interview. I started off the interview by asking Heidi about the types of calls they're receiving at CADAC. Have the needs of ADHD people changed because of the pandemic?
We have received some calls, particularly about COVID. One with post-secondary education from students or parents. Also some calls from parents of kids in, you know, elementary and high school who are struggling significantly. And also calls about ADHD working from home. Mm-hmm. So the calls about school for post-secondary, they've been sort of reporting both good and bad issues. So one parent actually said that her son with ADHD was doing far better with online courses because he could record the sessions, he could listen to them over and over again in his own time. If he missed something, he could, you know, backtrack and re-listen to it. And his marks had actually gone up.
Really?
Other students with ADHD in post-secondary report struggling a lot. They say they have a much harder time staying focused on online lectures. You know, it's very tempting to, you know, click on searching Facebook or whatever yeah. if it's a particularly boring time in the lecture or whatever, right? And they're struggling on keeping everything organized, their assignments organized, and doing it in an environment at home offers them the ability to just have their laptop while they're lounging on the couch or on their bed, or mm-hmm. right? So it's giving them less structure, less organization, just more opportunities to slack off. And we know for, you know, anyone with ADHD, but, you know, post-secondary students with ADHD, procrastination is a huge issue. You know, keeping organized, keeping motivated, balancing a lot of things, you know, at the same time. And it just seems like the online learning is making it worse. And we're finding with parents of kids in elementary and high school, a lot of them are complaining that they really feel that there's not a whole lot of learning going on for their kids. If you take kids, especially in elementary and I guess high school as well, and put them in a structure like home where they're used to not having to pay attention to a teacher and focus, there's more distractions, there's more noise. There's a lot more interesting things to do in their home that they're used to. Parents are saying the distractions are a real problem.
Really?
And that focusing on that talking head on the screen is an issue. And parents have also said that this new way that the schools are doing the online where they need to be on screen for 6 hours a day is really, really hard on our kids with ADHD. We were proactive in Kadak, and we did a couple of webinars on online learning. We did a guide with some tips to online learning. So, you know, hopefully that helped. We're also getting calls, obviously, from adults with ADHD at challenges in working from home. Mm-hmm. And again, we were proactive and did webinars on this and, you know, a guide to working from home with tips and strategies. But again, we see those same ADHD and executive impairments raising their head, you know, so... Right. Procrastination is an issue, you know, time management, and just that organization that we find that adults who have to go into work, have a schedule at work, have book meetings at work, you know, everything is more structured, there's more accountability, and all of those things we know are good for people with ADHD. When sometimes you don't have to get out of your pajamas to go to work, right? Sometimes that accountability slips, right? And although we have online meetings and things, it's also more difficult to stay focused during online meetings for adults who are working from home. So all of those issues have become more apparent this past year.
So is there a way to get around that?
The working from home issue. So yeah, I mean, obviously there's a lot of tips, like really set up a workplace that even if it's, you know, a desk in a corner with some type of surround around it, anything you can do to have a specific dedicated workspace that is away from the rest of the family and distractions, the better. The more organized you can make that workspace, having defined work times, like, you know, basically not having a loose start time that, well, yeah, whenever I feel like getting up, I'll do it. We know that's sort of a recipe for disaster. Also setting up a schedule with the family so they know between these hours are your dedicated work times. This may be your lunch or break time, you know, and then the afternoon work hours are between this time. So they know between those hours, they are not to interrupt you. But you have to then make sure you schedule the interactive times with them as well, right? So, I mean, we all need whatever social interaction we can get, and they need to know there's going to be a time to interact with you. I mean, obviously, structuring your workspace to have the least amount of distractions as possible. Some adults with ADHD have said that sort of having a working buddy or immediate supervisor or just a coworker that they can spend a few minutes at the beginning or end of the day sort of being accountable to or discussing, you know, what you've gotten done or not, or help you kind of chunk larger assignments, all the things that you'd kind of do in the workplace. You know, where you kind of lean over and, and talk to your deskmate that you may not feel as comfortable with. You may have to do more work to structure that and set it up, or just be aware that you need that.
Yeah, accountability. Yeah, that makes sense. Now, what about the hyperfocus? I'm thinking about, have you had reports or do you have reports on people with ADHD hyperfocusing on the virus?
No, you know, we haven't specifically had reports on that, but it makes sense because we know ADHD and anxiety often goes hand in hand, right? So there have been a lot of reports just about increased anxiety, period, or increased, you know, mental health issues. So obviously, yes, it's going to affect our population as well. Actually, we had a very interesting interaction with a young woman with ADHD. Well, I guess she's not that young because she's got kids, but she actually got diagnosed with ADHD because of COVID.
Oh, really?
So the reason was that, you know, she works, mother of, you know, two or three kids, very busy lifestyle. The kids were involved in a whole lot of things. So she said she was continually racing from work to home to hockey to ballet to whatever it is, right? Running around like crazy, and she had always been the type of person who was late for things, missed appointments, didn't get things done, and she had anticipated now that they were all confined at home, and she had lost her job, but she said she was now at home with the kids, and she figured she could now focus on organizing everybody, getting things done, doing some hobbies, and she said it was a terrible failure. So she said she tried to bake bread, then got on the phone with somebody, the bread baked, burnt. She said, you know, she went online trying to figure out what people were doing to occupy themselves because she found herself very bored. And she said she just couldn't understand, you know, how people could sit and read a book or, you know, do an art activity. She said she couldn't focus. She couldn't attend to anything. And she said her children were driving her insane because she said when they were home, their noise and activity were extremely distracting for her, right?
Right.
So, but she said she did stumble across an article. I believe a friend sent her an article on ADHD, And she said the light bulb went on. She went to see a therapist. And she said all these years, she had blamed her busy lifestyle for these impairments. And she said her life has totally changed with this diagnosis and putting in a lot of the medication treatment, but a lot of the other strategies. And she said, except for COVID, she may not have been diagnosed with ADHD.
It's kind of funny with ADHD. I find that sometimes our hyperfocus can get in our way because we're hyperfocused on coming up with excuses why not to do the things we're supposed to be doing. And if you don't have that, as you say, that monitor, whether it be in work or whatever, you're just flapping in the wind.
Yeah, exactly. And we actually find when people retire, sometimes that's when they get diagnosed. Because if they've had a very structured workplace, if they've had an administrative assistant, helping
them
with all this stuff, and now they're at home and they have no structure, and really, they said time just, kind of disappears during the day. They get nothing done and they can't understand why.
Well, I guess that's true for a lot of people even without ADHD. Some people say, I can't retire because I'll die. But with ADHD, it makes sense. If you don't have that structure or someone looking over your shoulder, keeping you on track, you're just going to just vegetate.
Well, exactly. And with ADHD, I mean, even the non-related things, there was more urgency to it. And we know people with ADHD are better at getting things done when there's an urgency. So if you have a structure and you know you've got 8 hours at work and you've only got this 45 minutes before you go to work or these 2 hours after to get the other stuff done, there's more pressure and urgency.
Sure.
When you've got all the time in the world, it's like, I'll do it tomorrow, right? next week, whenever.
That's right. You just go right to the finish line before you're supposed to be finished and you start. Yeah, I can empathize with that. Yeah. Now, when it comes to Kadak, I understand you have some initiatives coming up.
Well, we actually launched a big online advocacy campaign in December. We actually purchased a platform to allow us to get people involved in advocacy initiatives and allow them to send emails and tweets to their elected official in mere minutes. So it's really, really efficient. And we know this is a big one for those with ADHD. If we're asking them to compose, an email, find out who their elected official is. This platform, what it does is you just go to our website. There's a banner on the home page. There's also a little icon about this is actually an education advocacy, but we're going to be using this platform for our advocacy initiatives to come. So you just click on it. It takes you to the page. It briefly explains what the initiative is. If you want more background information, there's other things you can click on, but you basically select whether you want to be involved in the Ontario campaign, just because the wording of the ask is a little different, or the general one. It takes you to a fill-in sheet where you just quickly put your name, your address, your role meaning, are you a parent? Are you adult with ADHD? Are you a medical professional, an educator, whatever. And there's reasons for that because it populates the email. And then you basically click whether you want to send a tweet or an email. Up comes a box also that gives you the option in an email only, not a tweet, to add your own sort of personal observation, story, whatever you want to put in there. And the system immediately fills in the email with the text we've provided, but also fills in your role. So the email will say, I am a parent living in the area of such and such, says the email, and then adds whatever they've put in there, their own observation, personal story, whatever, and just immediately develops the email, and you hit click, and through your postal code, the system knows who your MPP, MLA, etc., MHA is, and also sends it to the Minister of Education. So literally, you can do this in like 2 or 3 minutes.
Wow.
Or you can choose a tweet, and again, through your postal code, it sends it to your elected official. And the reason we did this, one, obviously, it makes it much, much quicker for people to get involved. But also, we've spent years listening to elected officials tell us why their constituents don't care about ADHD. And their reasoning is that their constituents never talk to them about ADHD. So they will say, you know, they've got parents of kids with autism or adults with autism contacting them. So it's become an issue for them, right? They know their constituents mm-hmm. need more resources, you know, more medical resources, more education resources, all of that. But they said they never hear from anybody about ADHD. Wow. So we need to change this opinion of our elected officials for them to understand that their constituents actually do care about ADHD. We care about resources and school and medical resources, the lack of medical experts in ADHD, the lack of understanding how ADHD impacts the workforce, the justice system, et cetera, et cetera. All of these things, right? So we need a platform that makes it easy for our followers and the ADHD community to let their elected officials know that. And we also need a way to send an actual, what we call ask, or a specific request we have that we want our elected officials to pass on to, in this case, it's the Ministry of Education. So this particular campaign is asking elected officials to send the message to their ministries of education that they need to recognize ADHD as a serious learning risk.
Right.
And we've been working on this for, me personally, for about 20 years. But, ministries sometimes like to talk about, you know, equal access to education.
Right.
And, you know, how they service, you know, all the special needs kids. The difficulty is that in all ministries of education across Canada, there really isn't much of a focus on ADHD. If you go to their websites, there's all kinds of information on autism and the resources they're providing about autism, but they rarely mention ADHD at all. And there are certain provinces, Ontario in particular, that does not even recognize ADHD in what we call their categories of exceptionality. So that means they're really sort of not formally recognizing ADHD as a risk to learning at all, as a disability, any of that stuff. Where they are recognizing other neurodevelopmental disorders like learning disabilities and autism. And what research is showing us is the impairments of those two neurodevelopmental disorders and ADHD are very, very similar in how it impacts learning, right? Mm-hmm. So we find there's this inequity for our students with ADHD.
Now, we have worldwide listeners. Perhaps there's people out there in other countries who are saying, well, how do I tap into this, or how do I structure something in my country? Would it be okay for them to contact CADAC to get more information on how you did it?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, they can feel free to contact me. Also, I mean, in the U.S., actually, they are better at that. This because they really have a law called IDEA that actually defines ADHD under that law. This is a federal law, as a disability. And while our, say, the Ontario Human Rights Commission recognizes it, we do not have a federal law. And actually, a couple years ago, the U.S. came out with a statement actually instructing schools that they had to do a better job at assessing, diagnosing, and supporting students with ADHD. So we don't have that in Canada. So actually, some of these other people in the other countries may want to look at the U.S., you know, for that per se. But yeah, I mean, this advocacy campaign on education, as I say, we've been working on this for 20 years, and we have made headway. But I would say in some ways, the U.S. is actually ahead of us. Now, in post-secondary, we are actually advanced in ADHD recognition and accommodations here over the U.S. because we have, I think, due to our efforts, CADAC's efforts, and a policy paper, you no longer need a psychoeducational assessment to get accommodations for students with ADHD in Canada, which was a big, big win and is getting a lot more accommodations for our students post-secondary in Canada. So if they want to look at a model for that, use Canada. Elementary and high school, the U.S. Might be a little bit better of a model, but I'm always happy to speak to anybody who's looking for help in increasing awareness of ADHD as a risk to learning.
Great. And of course, if you want more information on this, on the app, just visit the website, right?
Yeah, everything's on the website.
Well, Heidi, it's always been a pleasure talking with you, and this is no exception. Of course, it's an ongoing battle, and you throw in a worldwide virus, it makes it even more challenging. But I'm glad to know that you're still at it, and CADAC is still there for people who need you.
Thanks so much, Russ.
And now a round of applause for Heidi Bernhardt for all that she's done through CADAC over the years and continues to do, and for taking some time to speak to us here on Club ADHD, the podcast, of course, presented by CADAC, the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. Heidi wanted to remind me to remind you that the website, it's there. Yeah, we mentioned it during the interview, but I just wanted to highlight it because there are a lot of things going on. There are different studies that you'll find on the website, not only in Canada, but there was one done in Israel about ADHD and COVID, and they've got various other things going on, webcasts. It's full of information. Information that will help you if you have ADHD or a family member. That's CADAC. .ca, CADDAC.ca. And so it goes. We wrap up another edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. I am back on the horse, a little saddle sore, but we got through it. I got through it. I hope you found it interesting. I know I always do, just talking to various people about ADHD. Don't forget to visit our website with all of the podcasts, all of the previous podcasts. We will be revamping it, but it's still up there. ClubADHD.ca, and we have our Facebook page and the Twitter account. It's all there. It's going to get even better. Yeah, hold me to it as I'm riding my horse back on it. I am tightening up the seatbelt. Yeah, I do have a seatbelt on my horse. I can't help it. I keep falling off. I hope you don't fall off your horse. If you do, let us help you get back on it. It's Club ADHD, the podcast. It's just a cog in the Club ADHD wheel, a little get-together gathering place for we adults with ADHD. We will have some more coming up sooner than later. Keep tuned. Keep an eye out. I promise. I got to tighten that seatbelt up again. This is your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, wishing you and yours a very great day. Stay safe. play it safe. We will get through this pandemic. I know we will. Fingers crossed. Bye for now.